For the first time ever, bring home one of the greatest action-adventure shows of all time.
Don't tell me you know how to make a bomb out of a stick of chewing gum.
Why, you got some?
MacGyver is now available on DVD.
What exactly do you do, MacGyver?
He's the man who chooses wit over weapons.
We're going to need these.
Actually, I do much better without them.
Unstoppable.
Harmless.
Unconventional.
Now.
Unforgettable on DVD.
I hope this thing works.
You can come up now.
Richard Dean Anderson is MacGyver. Begin your collection on DVD. And look for more seasons coming soon.
MacGyver, you did it!
Cam, Gadget Man. With me, I brought Sam, not Michael Jordan. Welcome.
That hurts.
Podcast goat.
You don't have to be. He's retired. You're not. You're
I'm
awesome.
Better at podcasting than MJ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me I'm wrong in that. Tell me I'm wrong, Cam.
Why would I? Okay. Why would I insult my guest? Okay. Why would I do that?
20 seconds in.
That'd be a mistake. And Jeff, not Ross, Hess, how are you?
Jeff Ross? Who's Jeff Ross?
A comedian?
That awesome stand-up roast comedian.
Oh,
sorry.
Now I see.
I'm just doing stupid intros to you guys, and my improv skills are actually letting me down.
That's because Sam does that with each one of our introductions, where he'll introduce me or if we have a guest with a nickname.
But I write it out, and Cam is clearly off the dome here. So
I am improvising. Yep. So they are from the Making Fun of MacGyver podcast. You guys did this very recently, and it was just interesting to just kind of hear just kind of a witty take on a deadly
serious topic.
Right? Yeah, a show that
we
has
are the first ones to ever see anything funny in MacGyver. I don't know what MacGruber, forget about that. No,
right. Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so funny. I had some other pals who were like, screw MacGyver, MacGruber's better. I'm just like, well, it's, yeah.
And depends on the mood you're in, right? Like, what mood are you in?
Much like the A-Team, you know, it is a show that's taking itself serious, yet I'm not saying it ever gets to Walker, Texas Ranger territory where it's pretending to be in on the joke, but it is one of those where you're just like, kind of depending on who you are, depends on how you take it. Like, the science apparently is stuff that scientists were actually consulted on to make it confusing, though. Most audiences kind of take it as a campy way. I pretty much am just like, it's pretty much a kids-friendly version of Indiana Jones, but with James Bond gadgets. It's just... And were you guys into Richard Dean Anderson and some of his other shows subsequently after that, or just any TV action adventure in general?
We had different paths to this show, and Jeff probably definitely has some Stargate knowledge, and I'm old, I'm like 12 years older than Jeff, so I was kind of a little too old for MacGyver in the first run in the 80s. Jeff was a little too young for MacGyver, so this is kind of like we're discovering it for the first time with new eyes, kind of, but also, oh gosh, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I wasn't too young for it. I watched it on replays.
Yeah.
Oh, there reruns. You go. Right,
so I watched tons of it when I was a kid, nice. But not from then until now.
No, well, absolutely. You know, I would always see bits and pieces of it. I got the gist of it, and I just found it interesting how, again, you know, just I would even see in movie reviews sometimes when a action or spy movie came out, people would use MacGyver in a as either praise or as a diss. They're like, this would have been better as a 40-minute episode of MacGyver, or oh, this is MacGyver, but amateur hours. I'm like,
it's in the dictionary, Cam. The word is in the dictionary.
I bet it is. Yeah.
That was you know, like I have an addiction to nostalgia, like 70s and 80s stuff. And so then the addiction ran so strong that I was willing to try MacGyver on Netflix, which I thought I never was going to care about the show. But you know what? All right, there's one more 80s show I can get into. I didn't love the pilot. Didn't love maybe the first episode or two, but there was a couple of episodes in where I found it ludicrous and hysterical. And then I found it charming, a 1-2 punch of charming and cool and root
three things all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I asked Jeff.
That mullet will do things sometimes.
I don't know. I worked with Jeff and Mike in radio news in Jacksonville, Florida for about three plus years. We were in the newsroom covering murders and taxes and missing
kids. You guys already had a rapport going.
Oh, yes. Yep. That rapport was so strong that Mike quit the show last year. But anyway, it was too much.
Couldn't handle that much gritty awesomeness.
No,
we were getting too famous. He was going to his head.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's funny you mentioned wasn't crazy about the pilot, because apparently Natter was the director of that episode, so we went under the Alan Smithy pseudonym.
Yeah, almost killed the whole thing. But what you're talking about, we hit on this a lot when we talk about the show, which is there is an earnestness to it that I think really makes it work, is that it feels like they're trying to do the best with just what they have available.
Yeah.
And some episodes come off a lot better than others. Some episodes are great because they're cheesy. Mm-hmm. Like some of my favorite episodes are really bad episodes. But it never feels like they're not trying. And so I think the combination of the sincerity with like the seriousness, they take these goofy things very seriously, very sincerely, makes it like stand up more than
it's
something
just flat out
like
exciting though altogether.
Yeah. Some episodes are they're just good. I mean, there's a lot of episodes that are just good episodes of television too. So they do hit grand slams.
Yeah. Isn't it also fun just seeing which actors like Don S. Davis or Christopher Judge, who later joined the Stargate family.
Oh my gosh. I watched their subsequent series too. What's the
SG?
Oh, Atlantis SG-1. And Universe. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stargate Atlantis. Oh. Anyway, I keep advocating for him to do Sliders as our next TV show.
Let's do a short run. Let's do a special on Sliders.
It's only like 40 episodes. I mean, it got killed by the last writer's strike. So
we get sidetracked because I think he's talking about small hamburgers and then I've got no focus.
You should eat those too, though. I mean, that's both of these things are accurate.
We do both. Yeah. Sliders and Sliders. It's two guys or three guys or more talking about that show while eating small hamburgers.
That sounds like a plan. I like your style. That's a great game plan. Well, what's also wild is Christopher Neame, I noticed, just was playing three different kinds of recurring characters. You know, he starts off as like a businessman as well as a serial killer. And then he just comes back for like one of the two-parters playing one of the other ruthless.
So let me step in and tell you that Jeff might be the world's worst recognizer of actors. So
I was going to dodge it.
Yeah, yeah, I know you're going
to. I was going to dodge it because I was going to say, he's right, though. I can't recognize anybody. But MacGyver, several times, will use the same actor for totally different role.
Yeah.
Like there's at the beginning of season two or three.
Something like that. Yeah.
There's a Russian spy named Lisa. And she gets offed. It's a two-part premiere, and she gets killed. And she's back like two episodes later as Nikki.
As MacGyver's partner for the next season. Like, if all you needed was any kind of memory to look at her and say, wasn't she just a Russian spy who was killed in a helicopter? Three episodes later, she's back as MacGyver's partner at the Phoenix Foundation. But you said Christopher Neame, and I know that name now. And Jeff is going to really know the character because that is one of his all-time favorite characters. And that is the man who played Murdoch. Oh, no, sorry, Murdoch. Not Murdoch. Who's our guy? Our guy from Quail. That's Quail.
That's the so. Quail. Okay, so my bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my heart. It goes out.
I'm going to share a photo in the chat now.
We have a skit coming up featuring Quail.
Look at the photo on the side.
He was Quail for Halloween. You want to talk about a deep cut 2 years ago? Yeah.
Just see the chat.
Quail. Yeah. Yep. I see it. That's him.
Just ruthless. And this actor, he's done everything from Star Wars voiceovers to being one of the main bad guys in the James Bond film License to Kill. He's just ruthless.
Yeah, he's my standout favorite character from season one, which has a lot of very memorable stuff in it. But we've done a few skits where I'll don this kind of costume and, you know, his accent and things like that. So he's one of my favorites for sure.
So maybe this would be a good time to tell you one of the recurring things we keep track of on our show, which I noticed very early on, is how many times the people on the show say MacGyver. I think this was a trope of years past with TV shows in years past. They keep saying the main character's name a lot. And of course, you know, yeah. you don't find out his first name till the show is almost done.
Right.
But they say his name a ton of times. And I would go back and bring the clips together, you know, supercut. And if you're okay with it, I will share that with you. And we can hear some Christopher Niemann. Are you okay with me sharing a clip here?
Anytime, please.
All right, this one's back a little bit. Give me a second.
Is this from the episode?
Yeah, yeah. This record was eclipsed by. If you can cut this part out, Cam, I gotta find this in. It shouldn't be too long though.
So for a period of time, this was the most MacGyvers, and he says quail a million times too.
They go back and forth. Yeah,
I'm coming for you.
They're all from the same episode.
Making fun of MacGyver.
Did indeed go back and count all the MacGyver and Quayle mentions, and it's stunningly, gloriously insane. It's just amazing.
I've had assurances like this from you in the past, Quayle. Particularly where it concerns MacGyver.
MacGyver is the only blemish on my records, gentlemen.
We know that dreary story, Quayle.
Let that memory be an inspiration, Quayle.
What he means, Quayle, are sources of Trace MacGyver halfway around the world.
Good to see you again. MacGyver.
This computer is fully programmed for us, Mr. MacGyver.
Hello, MacGyver. Don't worry about it, MacGyver.
Use the name Quayle. People weren't too happy with you, huh, Quayle?
With great pleasure, MacGyver.
MacGyver, that's crazy.
So's Quayle.
It's MacGyver.
You always did like to talk, didn't you, Quayle?
Always had to say how great you were, didn't you, Quayle?
You certainly are talented, Quayle.
Your appreciation is not wasted, MacGyver.
Quayle.
A new chess game with a new master, MacGyver.
Brilliance, Quayle.
All right, I'll stop it there, Quaid. It goes on and on. I think Quayle actually
just at least
wins.
Show him how high it gets. Go to the very end.
Howdy, Quaid.
I think it goes to... how many was it, 40 something?
Well, just did you close it?
I did close it, yeah.
Nabu. Yeah,
fine,
it's like they each say it like 30 something times.
That cuts
episode.
The mustard, and it's just like, man, you know, it's just I get that we had stuff on typewriters and we couldn't always check our children's homework, but man,
no, our theory is they did it on purpose. And we've talked to cast member, like we've talked to Lee David Zlotoff, who's the creator, although he was even on for one episode.
How was he?
It was really nice.
I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah, it was just me and Mike back when Mike... He gave us an hour of his time. It's fine. He was very cool. Hour of his time, gracious. And he still got that enthusiasm. But he still owns, you know, the MacGyver name. And so he's writing books. There was a MacGyver the Musical. That's our other clip I can play later. Yeah, this is MacGyver the Musical. I don't think they toured this year, but last year they performed in Houston. We almost went. So he's still... you know, capitalizing on the MacGyver name. And we talk with him about the origin, and he basically...
Oh,
you
that
know,
tells me he has a sense of humor if he's doing a musical.
Yes, yes. And he can see... I think he still has an attachment to wanting the character to be taken more serious than anything else, because he joked with us and he's like, I was hoping you guys could... You know, I'm here to hope you guys can change the name of your show. You know, he didn't say about taking MacGyver seriously or something like that. But no, he was very cool, very nice to talk
with
us.
That's cool. I mean,
gave a lot of insight.
You have to know that people will make fun of your product. I mean, there's a dozen different Law and Order SVU podcasts, and some of them will make fun of it, and some of them don't consider it trashy and do legit like it in a dramatic way. I mean, there's a lot of Criminal Minds podcasts I stopped listening to because it just sounded like everybody hated the show, to where I'm like, guys, you're nitpicking and killing my enjoyment of this serious mystery show.
Well, and I think that's like, we had a conversation about the name of the show, whether people not would like get what we're going for. Mm-hmm. And we definitely don't take the piss out of it out of like frustration or
no,
anger or anything
you
like
don't
that.
Have
like,
any yeah. vice with it. I mean,
no,
anytime I do an episode that I know might divide people, I always have a warning saying, you've been warned, there might be a hot take here.
We extreme warning.
Any attention is good attention, but I'm just letting you know we weren't crazy about this movie or show. No one is forcing you to listen to this episode.
But I mean, like,
no one's forcing you.
And it's just like, I mean, that's what we're not trying to make fun of it. We're trying to make fun like with it.
We're trying to make humor and comedy,
like using this as a source, not as like, we're making fun of it.
When I was prepping
Although sometimes
Sam,
it is very bad.
When I was prepping with Sam off air, I was telling him about some of my pals, Jeff Akin and company, who have a bunch of different Star Trek podcast, but they also have a Babylon 5 for the first time. And that's amusing. And Babylon 5 fans are pretty cool, but there are some who will be very jaded and not understand references to any other kind of media. I'm like, yes, much like Star Trek, it's a cowboy Western space cop show, but in space, you know, and it's referencing this and that, and they don't get it. But they did have to say, it's like, yeah, there's no way around it. Those graphics just did not age well, or that story reveal was really irritating. It could have been better, or that one-liner or attempt at humor could have just been omitted, you know. So there, it's inevitable. Some of these 80s and 90s shows, I think for the most part, are just intriguing in that it kind of takes you back in time.
Yeah.
And kind of sees the way things are done today. There's plenty. Yeah. I personally still have, I mean, I love Heroes and Icons TV because they air reruns of not only shows like this, but also other fun ones like Martial Law and Nash Bridges. And I think everybody should just owes it to themselves to go back in time and see. If you don't like the stuff of today, you might as well see stuff from earlier periods and see if that fares with you any better, because it storytelling evolves and formatting and changes and even culture changes. I mean, that's why we do our show. We want to also give everybody an out, just say, hey, there's no way around it. This show is never going to be streaming, you know?
Well, I'm a big believer in things can be very poorly made, but very good. And things can be very well made and not very good.
That's why I use the B5 argument. That show has PlayStation graphics and Roger Corman type actors and dialogue and sets, puppet master type effects. Yeah,
people don't love Doctor Who because his old shows were like fantastic. Oh yeah, because they told interesting stories.
Absolutely. Kevin J. Anderson, the awesome author who's done a lot of X-Files and Star Wars tie-in novels, as well as worked on the newer Dune books, had a hysterical story he shared on a recent podcast. And he talked about how he tried to get his kids into the original Star Trek. He was showing them the classic arena episode. Devastated. Because
everyone reaction.
Right. The kids are like, Dad, this is slow. Yeah. This is dumb. And we, the fans, we remember all the stuff at the finale, you know, the dun, 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 you know, so it, sometimes we're blinded by our own nostalgia. We assume, you know, I've done that too with other shows before, and the punchline or awesome stunt that I remembered was still barely lasted 10 minutes. And so you gotta cut your losses also, you know, like, and I think this MacGyver fans in general are just awesome in that they kind of, they just want escapism. And I think this gave them an outlet for if they weren't as avid at watching movies or other stuff, was like, this is what you were going to watch if you couldn't watch something like Rambo or Die Hard. You know,
pivot from there, because that's actually why I didn't watch it as a teen, because I was more into sitcoms like Cheers, Family Ties, whatever. I wasn't into action. I wasn't into action TV series. So that's what I thought MacGyver was going to be, like the A-Team or these other things, like macho hero. Yeah. Right. And I didn't want a part of it. So you got to fast forward 35 years later for me to find out it's a little better than that. And it is a little more James Bond-esque.
Right.
But yeah. But no, you're right. Like the fans generally, again, where our audience is probably 35 to 55. And at this point, if you don't recognize the inherent cheesiness and silliness and fun, make fun of ability of 80s TV, you're not operating in a reasonable realm. You know,
probably so the same types who take Walker Texas Ranger dead serious. And you're like, oh, dude,
scary. Are there people like that?
I have seen people who would get so offended. I'm like, come on. Conan O'Brien even made a skit out of this.
Conan bits. Yeah.
How can you take any of this guy seriously? A guy who doesn't do any paperwork and goes around punching people in the face or kicking them off a building. It's murder.
And I think that's I think one of the things that makes it enjoyable like that is that it's like it can be violent and scary, but you never doubt that MacGyver's the good guy. So you're talking about too.
It doesn't
the escapism
do
is like
stuff. Yeah.
When you boot up an episode of MacGyver, you know for a fact MacGyver's a good guy and he's going to win. And so, like, as far as an escapism, like after that in the 90s and 2000s, there's like cynical, regretful heroes or complicated like men of depth and things like that. And MacGyver is never going to be deeper than what he is. Yeah, exactly.
No vices.
And so there's like
that's why he refused to continue. Like, they wanted him originally this new MacGyver show to have him be where he was like, he was the son of the previous, and he was like, no, you guys are using gunplay. Mm-hmm, the whole point is that this guy's the underdog. He doesn't have any guns or anything, you know. And however, I will say, you can, if we want to talk about a moment where MacGyver definitely killed a guy, definitely the second movie. He flew.
That spoiler alert is going to come in because neither of us have seen it.
Okay, well, long story short, he throws a wrench at someone and there's an explosion caused, and I'm like, yeah, that person definitely died in there. I didn't.
Well,
see
if you're gonna die, might as well die in the last episode of it. Back coming
indirectly back killed, but probably killed. And Mike Vijar, who directed a bunch of Baywatch, Walker, Texas Ranger, Star Trek, Babylon 5, and it brings it all around. And A-Team episodes, also directed a ton of MacGyver episodes. Mm. And he sounds like a nice guy. A lot of those CBS guys are awesome because they all pretty much were working on soaps or doing editing, and they pretty much knew how to have all this kinetic energy on a small scale. But I think that's what I like about it too. Like, just from season one alone, when he's escaping from that one prison and causing an explosion, when he's getting on that horse attached to that copter while dressed in as an Arab.
You have a good memory.
Well, rides a map down a sandhill.
I mean, that some of those moments even made it into an 80s TV stunt making of documentary. So
like, some of the stunts are really terrific.
You just can't look away. And
let's talk about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, but I'm done.
We discovered very early on that many of the stunts from season one and two were stolen footage from old movies and TV shows.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Right. And that's a common practice. But because of all the stunts and the low budget for a first year show, it is, there is a, what's the show? Thief of Budapest. There is a 15-minute long car chase in Romania,
which is incredible.
And it's all taken from the original The Italian Job.
Which is why it's incredible.
And Jeff's mind was blown that this is all not, none of that is Richard Dean Anderson in that car. You get one shot of a green screen, and then it's just car shots from a movie that, you know,
it's like seriously
movie.
10 stolen minutes.
So yeah, much one like of the most Roger famous Corman and Jim Wynorski, they were doing a lot of that sampling. But to their credit, though, it is well incorporated to where it doesn't take you out of it. It's not because, like, I'm okay if people like steal footage from like a Canon Films or goofy 80s movie. Just don't steal footage from something that's, you know, unmistakable. Like, you're not going to take a chase scene out of Mad Max or Terminator 2. It's just, no. Everybody's going to recognize that one. Taking obscure or just little stuff. Or, I mean, I'm okay. Like, Jag, you should see early Jag is hysterical because however they remaster it, the slow motion just doesn't hold up. Mm-hmm. But I actually don't mind it when they reuse a shot like of a naval carrier from Top Gun or a Crimson Tide submarine. Right. And somebody needs an establishing shot. Just let them use 5 seconds of footage from Crimson Tide.
So it was easier to fool audiences in the 80s. Small TVs, not high def. So you can get away with it.
European,
but now when we watch
movies
in high def, either on Blu-ray or it's on, it's, and by the way, all these episodes are on high def now, and you, there's a noticeable upgrade. So this was shot on film and it's on Paramount Plus.
Panavision.
It's also available on Blu-ray. So the episodes actually look pretty good. But when you see an episode like perhaps my favorite, the best worst is Trumbo's World. And
world.
So that's, I think it's episode 6 of season 1.
Yes.
And he's taking on a horde of angry soldiers.
Yes.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
When they cut away to the ants, though, it's footage from a movie from like the 50s, and it is nowhere near the same film grain or quality. It's just, it's hysterical.
That's a good intro, though, because like I do love when he gets some of the other recurring characters who are like activists or guerrilla fighters, and he's having them get away from a village, because much like A-Team, I like that whole use of just what, you know, a seven samurai concept. Whatever you do, you got to get out of here and you got to get on that plane.
Well, watching the first season, like, it's very weird and up and down, and you watch them like form the character.
Mm-hmm.
So like they try him in different situations. Like there's one where he's almost in a Rambo-esque thing and his shirt's off and he's running through the forest and all this kind of stuff. And it doesn't work at all.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's terrible. And then they like settle into the almost like your friendly uncle kind of thing. That
he's also bagging a lot of babes. In episodes eight, he's kissing everybody. By the time season two comes around, that is done. He almost said, you cannot get him to touch a woman after season two.
Oh, well, I love how he brings remember when he brings in that one gal who's helping him get out of that dictator's country in Central America. She's a journalist.
Yes.
Robin Curtis. Yep. Savick from the Star Trek movies.
I think that's the Gauntlet episode. Yeah, yeah. And they share a lizard meal before they have sex. And that's the, I think.
Oh, it's that episode.
I think that might be the only confirmed time, like, it's implied MacGyver just had sex.
Well, it's right after they eat a lizard too, over open fire. Just, 80s were that time, man, where you could infer that.
Yes.
He definitely had sex with that assassin in season 3. The assassin wrote on her computer her 3 options for getting rid of MacGyver were to
love him off.
To knock him off.
Scare
pay him off,
happen, man.
Or love
happen.
Him off.
Love him off. It's gonna happen. It happens.
There was full 80s sax music for and everything.
Love the sax.
MacGyver
solos.
Definitely kills people. MacGyver definitely kills people, and I talk about it in my segments, which are Does It MacGyvers, which
disagreement. Much like the A team, I tried on a recent rewatch of seeing if they killed anybody, and no such luck. But MacGyver. It's unmistakable. There's just so many gray areas where no one gets up after an explosion. You're like, yeah.
And so we do the Does It MacGyver, which is where I'm air heavy quotes here, bust or check whether or not what happens is possible scientifically. And so when he does his little gadgets in the show, I'll break down whether or not it would have worked and whether it would have saved him or killed him or something like that. Or if it doesn't work, why it would, or if it does work, why it would, or, you know, if it doesn't, why it wouldn't? You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. But like you say, it's not mean-natured. It's not a cinema singe where it's a nitpick disguised as a joke. It's like, no. This is like...
Also, I wouldn't go checking my own checking of these things.
Well, you know? The fun of it for anything. For me, when I take pride and joy when I see an unconvincing makeup job or bizarre wardrobe or a stunt double that isn't able to hide their face or... a car that keeps getting damaged but looks fine in the next shot. That's just part of the fun of filmmaking. Stuff that you wouldn't notice maybe on certain screens, small screen versus a big screen, but sometimes it's just unavoidable now. And we're not, again, I'm not doing it to, you know, throw someone off a cliff. I'm just having fun as a cinemaphile.
We wouldn't do this if we didn't like actually watching the episodes.
Well, that too. You guys do take pride in this, and it's not to just throw someone under the bus and pick on the little guy who made a living doing this.
Not at all. So we talk about Jeff's, we call him the scientist on the show. I'm the skeptic because I came in thinking the jokes would be the main thing, and Mike did about 50 episodes before he left, and he was the diehard because we thought he would be the most earnest lover of the show, but... we keep the stats on how many of his MacGyverisms actually would work. Do you care to offer a guess? Season 3 is the one we just wrapped up. So what percentage of MacGyverisms do you
usually perceive to be the best season?
Jeff deemed how many of those MacGyverisms, first of all, how many do you think he did in a 20 episode season?
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Of all the tropes, okay, so setting the dynamite would be one. getting on a copter to
might take a while, but
Bruce McGill's character. Jack Dalton. Dalton having him trapped on a plane a few different times, or a terrorist takeover would probably be about five of those each. You know, there's always some master thief or something, and then a vehicle escape is probably going to be the number one.
So, what do you think? Maybe three an episode, something like that.
Two at the minimum, three at the most, definitely.
You're about right. So MacGyver was, there were 52 MacGyverisms attempted, and Jeff deemed 38 of them would work for a percentage of 73% success rate in season three.
Sweet. How many of them do you think would work in real life, even though the science claims
minimal number. Minimal number.
The other thing is, it's all persistent on the villains being good aims, and it's like, those guys with their AK-47s would have blown up the bridge.
MacGyver succeeding through some ridiculous series of, like, one time he is in like a woodworking shop and he has to take down these baddies, and he builds like a machine gun out of a table saw. So like he builds like a ramp. Does that work? I mean, like, sure, you're going to be flinging pieces of wood. Maybe if you hit somebody with just enough force in the right place.
It was mostly sawdust.
My version of work isn't just like, will it do the thing he wants, but it's, will it get them out of the situation that they're in?
Oh man. Yeah. Well, what season is it where he's helping the guys who've been set up for murder, and he's helping them escape a prison? Some crooked deputies and everything. That might be a later season.
That was just this last season, and we loved that episode.
That was so much fun, just when they get into the tunnel and he's like, lights out.
that had Pepe in it, Joe. Jeff.
That's the episode with
Pepe?
That
was the Pepe, yeah.
Dalton thinks there's missing millions in a mountain, and it turns out
Was it this season?
It was this season. Well, we had a bunch of Pepe jokes, and I hope it was this season, or else we had those jokes for no reason.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm looking for, I can't remember the name of it, but we both liked it.
Who are your favorite supporting characters?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's answer would have been Jack Dalton until this season, and they overdid him.
I like Dalton, but I don't like how he's introduced at first. It's just my personal preference, that he kind of comes in and you're like, who the heck's this guy?
So I'm an unabashed Pete megastan. I love the dad vibes, like, you know, you like
total
feel
dad
like
joke
if you,
guy. Yeah.
Oh, but like if you had a bad day in high school, you know, you could talk to him and he's not going to like tear you down, or like he would give you a big hug when you need it. Like he's always going to be there. He's reliable. He is never mad at Mac or Jack. Well, kind of at Jack, but like he's never mad at you, but like he'll help you fix things and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I love like Dana Elkar's just like presence in the thing works really
as,
well.
Peter Thornton, the supervisor. Yeah. He's probably my favorite. Same thing with Terry Hatcher's Penny. They grow her up later on, but when they first introduce her, they're kind of having her be a silly valley girl.
Yeah, and the voice is annoying.
Season three has Nikki in it, right? So she's female MacGyver, and they go through five or six episodes and they kind of try her in different ways and nothing sticks, so they just get rid of her. But there's a version of that show where they could have worked, because they are not bad together on screen. They just didn't know what to do with this like female MacGyver. Like they dated, and then she was shrill, and then she was competent, and it was weird.
Richard Dean was probably too busy snowboarding, and the writers were like, we don't know what to do.
Right. I love some Pete too, and I've got a clip. This was just a promo for an episode we did last year. But a lot of times we take the low-hanging fruit on MacGyver. We take, you know, the silly stunts and the MacGyverisms that are funny. And then sometimes we go find our own comedy. And this promo would be an example of that, starring the one and only Pete.
Making fun of MacGyver.
Yep.
There you go, Pete. One ginger ale on ice. What's the matter?
Oh, sorry.
That's fine.
Oh, nothing. Nothing. It's fine. It's just the ginger ale is really best over shaved ice, not cubes. These are cubes.
Will MacGyver shave Pete's cubes? Mac has been in a lot of sticky situations before, but has he ever shaved anyone's cubes?
I love the epic music.
And if he does shave Pete's cubes, which of the 17 tools on his Swiss Army knife will he use? And isn't Pete a little old to still be shaving his cubes? Get the answers to these chilling questions on the heart-pounding episode Out in the Cold next time on Making Fun of MacGyver.
Yeah, that's the kind of chilling.
That's a recommendable episode. If you found the Out in the Cold episode, it's worth watching. MacGyver survives a avalanche by doing things that would actually help you survive an avalanche.
Oh,
and then Pete gets him out and immediately falls and breaks a leg, like just tips over.
Yeah.
Like his old man body just like flops and he like little bird ankles just snap. And then later in the episode, he breaks the other one.
That's so wild.
He's just like standing there and all of a sudden, like, I guess it's an 80s thing, like getting bonked on the head and losing your memory. Like,
yeah.
You just randomly break a leg.
Those later episodes, you can tell, like, he wants to be on a snowboard as much as he can or do an excuse to start skiing hockey from an explosion. But yes, thank you for bringing the hockey in those later seasons. You're just like, did I just walk into a different show? Is this what 21 Jump Street was?
We just, you nailed it, because you might think it's a later season, but we just had in season 3. And by the way, Jack in the Box is the episode we were talking about where they have to escape from the crook Jack in the Box. Yeah, that was really good. But sorry, we just saw an episode where there is no danger. It's the first time MacGyver has no danger. There is just a lesson to be taught to a over-eager father and his son who wants to play hockey. And it's just that it's an after-school special. And we both kind of, Jeff liked it more than me, but it was like a surprise that there was no bodily harm threatened at all to anyone.
There were some subtle ones, just some laid-back ones. But then he kind of, after a while, kind of gets back into A-team mode where he'll be saving a blue-collar worker from a evil factory owner or a kid who's on the run from the mob or just something like that. And so that's where it's really gets intense, where you're just like, it kind of goes back into the old serial where they cut to black. Dun, 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 you know.
Well, and MacGyver's also anti-cop, which I like. Show him the spreadsheet. You should see this. We keep a lot of detail.
Spreadsheet. Okay.
Yeah. Just show him the Excel document.
Because I think he's a spy also, and he just knows that. He was kind of detecting the systematic problems before we were doing it, which is says a lot about anybody.
I talk about that. So we don't talk about politics, like as in who's running for election and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I definitely
just
talk about like leftist politics in the show or right wing politics, you know?
Right. And I mean, even when with Richard Dean's anti-gun stance, he was just trying to just put up just the whole, you know, be the bigger man. You know, if you're a real man, you do not need a gun. You do to be a hero, you know.
Well, actually, if you want to see where we line up politically, Jeff, you forget one of our first episodes, like episodes 15 or something, October of 2020, we did
an election episode
called How Would MacGyver Vote? And before we did it, we came forth and both said where all three of us were politically. And I'll do it now. What the hell? Me and Jeff both to left. Mike actually center right voted for Trump in 16, voted for Biden in 20. So he's one of those rare, like, you know, I could go either way kind of guys.
Mike is the everiest man he's the most Pennsylvania man to ever Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's
a
swing voter.
I get it. I think he's more of a Jack Bauer type where he respects whoever's in office, but he.
Oh, no, we're talking about the guy who was our co-host. I'm talking about the guy who was our co-host.
Oh, well right.
Yes.
I'm just saying that the character, I think, is kind of like Jack Bauer.
Also a swing. Yeah. Also, you might not, because I think we did 10 issues, like 10 big important issues, terrorism, gun control, abortion, taxes. And I think we came like he would be 5 to the left, 5 to the right or something like that, which probably isn't a coincidence with the writers not wanting to alienate one side. But the gun thing these days, no conservative would allow, would not. This show would have a target on its back with anyone that was openly not using guns. Like MacGyver will throw a gun at you before he takes down.
Yes, absolutely. He'll throw the ammo clip. He'll fire it off to scare you. And
he'll call you bad names before he'll shoot you, even if you're about to.
Absolutely. He'll make you. He'll load it, but he's not going to shoot it. And I think, and much like the A-team, like he's going to shoot the explosive behind you that sets it off and distracts you. And then inevitably he'll get caught. So then the whole argument is lost. You don't have to worry about, oh, he's dumb. He should have just shot the guy regardless of his ethics. He's just all like, hey, I don't need a rap sheet. He would succeed at playing a game of Grand Theft Auto without having his meter go up.
I don't know if that would be his game, but
He would have to do a lot of cheat codes and hacking, but
it's got the fingerprints of, being a kid of the 70s. I, of course, had a major thing for the Fonz, right? So executive producer of the show, Henry Winkler. So that's another feel good thing for me with
this show. Anybody else would come off as sexist or maybe perverted, but the Fonz is kind of like, hey, I'm in love with you. He's an Elvis kind who just everybody wants to be like. And that is true. It made sense why he produced so many other comedic shows and why MacGyver had comedy in it. But I mean, in many ways, Richard Dean Anderson, I feel, is very much a small screen Harrison Ford in that.
Yes.
He's cool with drugs, but he's not going to be seen smoking a joint. But he's just like, everyone leave each other alone. And like you say, just he doesn't bring up any hot topics that would divide either side of the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a lovely spreadsheet you got here.
So it's the episode, the date it aired, the date we aired.
I'm impressed.
Everyone's rank, name. I keep trying to scroll it. I keep forgetting it's
how many times you think you've had to watch each episode.
Well, now that I do the recaps, I watch them twice. But before, I would only watch them the one time.
I want to rewatch the hockey episode now that you.
That one is thin
hockey,
ice,
man. Professional hockey.
Professional hockey. It was fun.
That's right here. Season 3, episode 13, Thin Ice. I gave it a 6. Jeff gave it a 7 out of 10. And there were no MacGyverisms there. 0 for 0 because, of course, no manager.
Other than be nice to everybody. Then, yeah. 0. Zilch.
Number one movie.
Yeah, we also go back in time.
Number one song or commercial.
That week for whatever that episode aired, we look at the number one movie, we talk about it, and then each of us takes a song, a turn singing the number one song from that week. And it's horrendous, and it's funny, as you would think it might be.
Yeah, I did see you do some of that in the episodes I saw, and I was just, I applaud anyone who can do that because, especially with Billboard now, you have to use the Wayback Machine if you want to see other statistics. What was the number one movie or political topic or talk show and that day on that year respectively. It's a lot of homework, but
maybe our best thing, if you want to talk about musical, was the rap song I put together. If I could share that, I like that.
Sure.
And this is the one with the most views.
No, it's not the most views. I mean, the most views is us putting lyrics to the MacGyver theme song.
Oh, yeah. We had one video that like got 60,000 views or something like that, but most of our stuff gets a couple hundred if we're lucky.
That's good.
Yeah, Richard Dean Anderson at the Comic-Con in Pittsburgh in April shot up to like 120,000 views, and the next closest is like 60,000 views, and it's just a silly thing of us seeing putting lyrics to the MacGyver theme song. I'll let you make the call, Cam. Do you want... Would you like to hear the lyrics to the MacGyver theme song? Okay, let me find it out.
Put a lot of work into this rap.
This is you time.
I could possibly give you a taste of each. Let me find
this
first one.
Yeah, give us a good 45 seconds.
Making me jealous
each.
This wasn't in the show. There should have been more rap music in MacGyver.
He likes to write the songs and stuff. So a lot of these, we'll do spoof songs.
I love spoof songs. I'm a big weird
stuff
owl
like that.
Guy,
so that's what I was saying before, which is our show, we consider it like a package where it's it's like a podcast, but it's also we're trying to deliver like a radio show.
It's a triple cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be delicious. Something that I don't know. Do you ever listen like old school, like public radio stuff like that? Radio
absolutely.
Drama kind
dude,
of stuff?
All I listen to is satellite and college radio, man. I love hearing some way back nostalgia and some cool people reporting local news mixed in with this day in history and 77. Yeah. We had this.
So we try to deliver something that's like directed and produced and it's a show.
Because we all have radio background. Rule. So yeah. All right, so here we go. Finally, we have lyrics to the MacGyver theme song. That's the name of the YouTube video. If you want to go check it out and subscribe to our YouTube channel, we would love it. But here you go.
If there's someone in danger, maybe a friend or stranger, if there's an evil madman hatching a really bad plan, if there's a moral preaching that needs some teaching, if there's a girl who's missing, she probably needs some kissing, and that's when you call. That's when you call. You call on MacGyver, MacGyver. Don't ask me his first name, I'm not really sure. You call on MacGyver, MacGyver. You give him no weapons and he says yes, sir. Cause he can make everything out of most anything. There's nothing he can't do. Paper clips, pocket knife, I trust him with my life. Guaranteed the mullet will not let you down. You call on MacGyver, MacGyver. Don't ask me his first name, I'm not really sure. You call on MacGyver, MacGyver. You give him no weapons and he says yes sir. I think he's allergic to guns.
Perfectly aligned with that synthwave score.
69,000 views for this cheesy, dumb little parody.
The people want more.
And then I put all this hard work into a spoof song. If I could just give you a little bit of this. And this has 556 views. And listen, I mean, I'm proud of this, but not proud of the
MacGyver
views.
I love, to me, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go. I was so ready for them to call.
Talking about the musical here, and I say that I had a song ready to go.
Wait, you were ready?
I was ready.
No, I was ready. Calling you.
No, you guys, I'm telling you, I had a song picked out and everything.
No, you didn't. No,
I had a song. You want to hear it? Here it goes. I am not firing a single shot. I am not firing a single shot. Hey, yo, I love to serve my country, but I'll only do it gun-free. I am not firing a single shot. I'm a man of morals and much duct tape. Now, I probably shouldn't brag, but all I need to escape any problem is my brains and my science knowledge. What's made a robot from a donut, loose wires, and some shoe polish? I'm a mullet-rocking dude, as brilliant as a bowl, trying to break the mold. My powers you'll see as they unfold. I'm only 35, but my mind is stronger. These worldwide conflicts grow longer, they'll haunt you. Every bad guy though, no, I've learned you can't fight, don't even own a gun to bang right, so I hang tight and dodge the bullets like I dodge the fame. But damn, this song's getting long, so let me tell you my name. I am the MacGyver on TV. You see, I was the star. Whether I'm giving Pete some flack, clack, or teaming up with Jack, I'll find a way to save the day in 60 minutes flat. I'm known for my skills with my trusty pocket knife, and the stick of gum beats your trigger thumb. Oh yes, that's right, and though I excel, this one guy who gives me hell. I can't even open a Word doc without seeing Murdoch.
No.
Yep, that's him.
Hard to find rhymes with Murdoch.
That's my life. So now I think
so you're fancy to give Sam some views here.
And you need a now I know who I need on a tag team to impromptu plan. Rap battle.
I am not firing a single. If MacGyver could rap is the video, and it has 556 views. I mean, that's just, I don't know.
That's wonderful, man. Dude, keep it up. Find your creativity in this.
Yeah, it was fun to put together, and it made some people laugh, and some people, our fans really like what we do. You know, we probably only have, I don't know, maybe if I had to guess.
You get a lot of likes on Facebook. People are really liking how you.
But it could be better. It could be better. But the people that
That's
like
with anything podcast, dude. Loyal. Every day at the end of the year, I always ask myself what could be better.
Yeah.
Well, and here's what I'm always telling Sam is every year our views and listens get better. So even though we might get 300 or 400 listens an episode, last season we would get like 200, and the season
before
that we
get
100.
You're going to get reactions to stuff you did 5 years ago.
Yeah, and so, but we're not. I mean, it sounds
better
so
later than never.
Yeah, we're not doing it for the listens because we're probably never going to get them. But we're doing it because it's fun and
absolutely.
It's like a hobby.
It's not stuff you can buy, and if it becomes a hobby, then it's just like this is where you need to be.
Yeah.
Now that we're on the Jacked Up Review Show, I think our numbers are going to explode.
We only record every 2 weeks. So, like, we record every 2 weeks and release an episode every 2 weeks.
I will pimp the shit out of this episode. But I just applaud just anyone who can do humor. And that is more than I could do in a lifetime. I applaud anyone who can do a rhyming rap that's based on some kind of pop culture icon and then mix it with all the background music and all that.
Well, and much like the show MacGyver, you can pick up any one of our episodes and just drop into it. It's because it's not current events related or anything like that. It's going to be just about the episode. If you want to watch our show or watch it and come listen to us, or just listen to us because we'll tell you what it's about.
You get nostalgia. 80s and 90s nostalgia, 70s, 80s, 90s nostalgia. You get comedy in spades. You get science when Jeff researches MacGyverism. He gets very serious and takes, and you know,
stunts,
and,
vehicles,
and MacGyver.
Head
counts. You get all that. Yeah. You get all that.
Body counts, kind of semi.
Oh, we don't body count. But I will say if the stuff he does kills somebody.
That's my joke. It's zero every time.
Maybe one. Easiest stat.
If
there's any body count, there was definitely some people who died in the Chinatown episode.
Oh, that's later season, right? We haven't gotten to that yet.
No, it's season two.
Chinatown season two?
I'm remembering an episode where he like the Jade Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant that was the title of the episode. Okay. Right. The Wish Child.
He's helping a friend save his brother and the scam artist. And
the old guy dies on the...
Yeah, James Hong and then George Takei, you know, from Star Trek is, lo and behold, he's a Japanese guy playing a Chinese doctor.
And I think he dies over the railing, walking off the ship at the end.
He succumbs to his injuries. And
then commits suicide.
But then he's back as another guy.
That's a different guy.
That's James Hong.
Yeah, Takei succumbs to his wounds and tells him something important before he dies. But as you do on a show like this. But Tia Carrere and then Michael Paul Chan.
Oh, we just had that episode. That's the last episode of season three.
Well, she was on two. She was in The Wish Child and then she came back.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There's another example I was saying where they just bring the same actors and actresses back. Sam found the casting director is someone named Fiona Jackson and has a beef with her for only having so many names in her Rolodex.
We'd love to interview Fiona Jackson, the casting director for these episodes, and just see
why you do this to us, Fiona.
Murderer Sky. If you want to see, we deemed Tia Carrere at the end of season three, episode 20, Murderer Sky. We deemed that the sexiest moment of MacGyver through the first three seasons. So she strips down out of a wetsuit in the dark of night. She's perfectly lit, and we did not complain about her coming back for, you know, double casting on that one. We were fine with that.
Oh, she's actually on both this and the A-Team episode. Oh, my God. Do you feel like this is in the same universe as the A-Team? I keep bringing it up.
Never thought about it.
I mean, this is the same logic. Just don't offend anybody. And then just heroes who work on
the grid. MacGyver is in a parallel universe of its own because they don't even name the town that they're in.
There you go.
They're just in a city.
X-Files, Twin Peaks argument.
They're all just like each floating in a bubble. It's kind of like that most recent Flash where they all crash together.
Kind of like how Star Wars is in a different galaxy with absurd science while Star Trek and The Expanse are in a more realistic universe.
The A-Team was NBC back in the day, and in its original run, MacGyver was ABC. So I don't know if we can cross-breed the networks like that.
I know. I just mean figuratively, just because of the whole same kind of presence. Yeah. It's just like have something intense for the adults while
now wait a second.
PG
with all this A-Team talk, you wouldn't have happened to left a comment on one of our recent Spotify episodes, did you?
No, I don't go on Spotify.
Okay, we had someone leave a comment and say, "Can you guys review some A-Team episodes?" And they gave us an exact episode they wanted us to start with.
Oh my god.
And we didn't do that, but we reviewed the 10-second NBC the promo trailer.
If you ever need anybody, I'm here.
Okay.
I actually took a lot of notes on some of the famous guest stars on some of
the A-Team. Yeah.
Pass. If we do another one, it's going to have to be from the 90s or early 2000s.
Okay. Even better. I'm down with that because 90s, you're going to at least have a better production quality and.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about, because the show ends at like 144 episodes, we got a long way to go, but like what we're going to do afterwards, like if we're just going to morph into something else, if we're just going to keep it going as general interest, and I guess we'll see when we get done with seven seasons.
I'm just kidding, and there's someone else.
Someone wrote us like code.
Oh, God.
And we take breaks like too in the summer.
I don't know.
So actually our last episode is The Running Man. In the summer we take breaks from MacGyver because for sanity. So we just reviewed The Running Man. Jeff made me watch that. And then we're writing an original radio drama for MacGyver, an original story that we're going to act out. That's going to be our next episode. And we're finding that it's perhaps too ambitious a project, but that's our next episode.
That's amazing.
We've reviewed Fast Times at Ridgemont High and The Warriors was a great episode. We reviewed The Warriors last year. And my pick for next month will be the original Exorcist. So that'll
be good. I'm ready for spooky season.
Yep.
And then we'll be back on for season 4 in October, right?
Yeah,
sweet.
Early October. And we would love you to listen, Cam, and all your listeners.
I have listened.
We're so friendly.
I need to listen to more.
If you ever reach out to us, like, we're bend over backwards friendly to anyone that chimes in, and we're not jerks.
And you can pay us money and come on and co-host
Patreon.com. Oh, yes. Patreon.com/makingfunofMacGyver. We have three tiers, $5, $10, and $15. At the $15 tier, which you can just do one time if you want, we will bring you on as a co-host and let you talk about the episode of your choosing from that season. So,
and we've yet to have a bad guest.
No, yeah.
It's always like a crapshoot. Like, you bring a guest on because we're running like a show, you know? And so you got to talk to them about how we do our production and stuff like that. And you never know if the person's going to cooperate.
Okay, we had a 22-year-old woman
from Taiwan.
From Taiwan, reach out to us, become a patron, and we did an episode with her. She loves MacGyver. She said it inspired her as a kid. She was bullied as a kid. She would come home, watch the episodes, and it inspired her. And she's been a fan of ours, and we've interacted with her multiple times. We've had people from Australia, Norway. MacGyver is big around the world, and a big chunk of our listeners are international.
That's insane, dude. That puts a lot of it in perspective now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that part really makes it worth it.
If you need something campy to just escape reality, do it, man. You know, if that inspires your soul, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So I kind of had some experience kind of like that with apparently that spy/fugitive on the run show, The Pretender, which was a big 90s TV show back in the day. Definitely people who were watching other procedurals and Equalizer, and definitely even X-Files were probably watching it, but it even crossed over with another show that had nothing to do with called Profiler, but it's very big in Italy. Like, it's syndicated there, so I got to talk with people around the country, and I was like, I had not the foggiest. That's nutty.
Yeah, America's maybe greatest export is its entertainment, its movies, and its television.
You know? Right. More American than America itself. I'll stop before I piss everyone off. Which episodes will you not watch again? I know we're trying to be positive, but like, just were there any that you're just like, yeah, that got a little ditzy, that got a little silly?
Anything with Penny Parker in it.
Some of those airport episodes were kind of bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like there was enough tension either, whereas like, there was one episode where MacGyver is literally like knocked out for like half the episode. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, it's like an amnesia episode.
Yeah, but like this one, he was knocked out way more than often. And so whoever cut the episode together, it just, there wasn't enough suspense. So it kind of got a little repetitive because he got like knocked out like every
commercial. So like those are the worst. Those are the worst episodes.
Yeah. And we, the ones that go on,
the ones that are in the middle, either they're good when they're really good or they're really bad. The ones in the middle would be like, I don't feel like watching this again.
Yeah.
But if there's some reason to watch something that's ridiculous or something that's awesome.
Well, you convinced me to rewatch the hockey episode because that one was definitely confusing at first.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, again, and I like hockey. I like playing it, but it was one of those I'm like, yeah, this feels like an ABC after school special. there were some other ones involving vehicles that were awesome, but there are probably some season one episodes I might switch around or like take two subplots of five different ones and edit them all together. It'd be way more entertaining, but overall I gotta applaud all these shows for just cutting the mustard and just being pretty electric, pretty fast pace.
I mean, it's our childhood, it's our teen years, and still to this day it holds up for comfort food. It's mac and cheese television. It's not fine dining, but we find it does something, and coming together, talk about it, laugh about it is the chef's kiss. You know, it's the dessert. So we really, one more thing. Lee David Zlotoff and his team made us official MacGyver ambassadors. If you go to MacGyver.com.
Yeah. Are you in a sitter camp?
What's up?
What?
Camp. Are you an ambassador of any kind?
I maybe on TV.
No, see, we're official.
We are official MacGyver
ambassadors.
Yeah.
So we're ambassadors. We are like have immunity here. So you need to respect our authority as ambassadors.
I promise. You have the final say. Before I go to the
I'm gonna stop paying the meter.
Congress,
I'm gonna stop feeding parking meters, parking on the wrong side of the street.
And that shows they have a sense of humor. And I'm sure Lee David Zlotoff, the creator, okayed that move by his social media person who we have a good relationship with. But
dude, every bit of the guy retenches money in that dude's pocket. Of course he loves it.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think that's it. That's making fun of MacGyver. That's what we do. And we really, you know what, you're our first interview. So I really appreciate you having us on. This has been great.
Absolutely, man. I see. I mean, I saw that there was the Phoenix Foundation, which covers every episode, but I just couldn't hear back from them. But I just applaud any podcast that has, again, zany humor mixed in with just topical stuff. And then you get back to the show, because there's just too many other TV recap shows that, again, take the shows too seriously or just want to gawk at how sexy the actors are. And it's like, that's not a good recap. We want to have an actual kind of conversation. Like, what did this remind you of?
I know you're wrapping us up and it's good. But those Phoenix Foundation people, they moved on to do every single movie from the 80s.
Yeah. Vintage Sweet. Video. Yeah. Yes. We're friends with those guys.
They are awesome. No, don't get me wrong. They're awesome. I just didn't hear
them. Yeah. Oh, you do know. Oh, okay. Yeah. They're busy. They're doing like four of these a week.
Yeah. They're taking off. They're doing great stuff, but they put in a lot of effort. And Patrick has like three
full-time
kids.
Job.
But he still does it. He works, I think, at Universal Studios. I'm putting all his information out there, but he's kind of connected in that area and he's a film buff. But him and his friend, they started off on the MacGyver podcast. I discovered that. I enjoyed it, but it was like a 35-minute strict recap of the episode. And then sometimes some hosts, you know, some special guests. But they have great senses of humor, but they never lingered on any of the funny moments. And I was like, come on, guys. You guys have a great sense of humor. Turn this into a 2-minute joke.
Tell us about the one blooper that's in that corner.
So I said... I said we have an opening here to be funny with it, and I even in our very first Twitter post, I think I said, you know, why would you listen to a MacGyver podcast when a great one already exists? Tagging Phoenix Foundation, I said, because we're bringing, you know, the funny, whatever. So there, yeah, there's plenty of MacGyver content out there, but I think nobody makes fun of it like we do,
which is so weird. It's not like MacGyver's going to come over there and suffocate you with a pillow. He doesn't care if you make fun of him.
No, Mike left the show, but he met RDA at that Steel City Con in April and hung around and really, you know, pressed the flesh to try and work the crowd. He got in there and got 5-10 minutes with Richard Dean Anderson, and he was very accommodating. We told him about the show. He said, "Well, yeah, we host a podcast named Making Fun of MacGyver. What is that? You know, what do you think when you hear that?" And he said, "Bring it on." And he's just like, you know, he's 72, he's over it. And he's just, you know, he's had a great life and he agrees. There's lots of fun to be poked at that calendar, at that character, but he's proud of the legacy that it's left.
That's wonderful. Man, you guys went to town. You're still in town. You're in every town.
We're doing it.
We have four more seasons to go.
Yeah. We'll check out MacGyver Engage. I promise you that.
Well, I need to go. So thank you again for very much for having
Anytime, us on. Anytime, man. You guys owned it. You had tons of fun. And much like keep circulating those tapes, keep activating the humor gadget.
Keep making fun of MacGyver.
Keep making fun of MacGyver. Thank you, Cam. It's been our pleasure.
Anytime. And hopefully these were enough crazy just gotcha moments that we summed up.
It was. It was great.
Anytime, dudes. Okay, well, right. Stay safe out there and treat everyone with respect and maybe find out a way to hop on a plane, hop on a horse that's being pulled up by a helicopter.
Yeah.
We're working on it. Trust me, we are working on it.
All right. Godspeed to y'all. Thank you for being here.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.